You're listening to The Music Show with Greg Dixon, only on LA Talk Radio.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Music Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Greg Dixon. We are live as we are every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard. Our guest today is Strange Hotels. Welcome to the show, guys.
What's up, man?
How you guys doing?
Doing good.
So I want to jump right into this. So I met your manager, Zach, right? Send me, we were talking about doing some stuff and put some shows together for something separate. And he had elaborated about your guys' band and brought it to my attention. And I got to tell you, dude, like no bullshit, straight out of the gate, I dug it. I just fell in love with it.
Dude,
so
thank
I
you.
Have a big, big 80s background from like bands like Depeche Mode, New Order, Soft Cell, even the Smiths, Morrissey, and all of that. And then fast forward to like bands now, like 21 Pilots, for instance, and certain, you know, the bands like the Bravery and all kinds of different bands. And I heard so much of this in your guys' catalog. And today I even was in LA and I had a lot of driving to do and I just let it go. And I was listening to it more and more. And I got to tell you, man, I really friggin' dig it. I told him, you know, Zach, I told him, I said, this is really good shit. I had no idea what I was going to, because he had asked me the way he kind of sold it. He was kind of like, would you be interested in having a band on that kind of was like dance music or kind of electronic music? And that's like, you know, I jam in punk rock and I love metal music, but that's something that really is, I hold close to me. And I actually just saw 21 Pilots a couple weeks ago at the Wilshire, not to compare you guys to them. But anyway, my cool. point is, great stuff.
Thank you so much.
Where are you guys originally from?
So,
well, actually, why don't you introduce yourselves first?
So, I'm Nick. That's it.
All right.
I'm Ben Braden. So, we're cousins.
Okay.
And we grew up in Minneapolis together.
No kidding.
And then we sort of, out of high school, moved to the West Coast. We moved to Portland, Oregon. And it was basically instead of going to college, we were like, we have to do something. We have to get out of the Midwest, and we were in this other band for years called the Lower 48, and it was like, we were 17 when we started it. It lasted for 10 years, and we toured, we signed shitty contracts, we made all these like really good mistakes that like was like a really good way to learn.
So you learned a lot of what not to do
what
anymore.
Not to do and what to do. We had success,
sure,
as well,
absolutely.
Moderate success, and
right
at, and then that sort of came to a natural end. And we moved to L.A. and started Strange Hotels a couple years ago.
So where did the name come from? Cheesy question, but I mean, it is a killer name.
Go ahead.
Did you guys stay in a strange hotel?
And then I mean, many times.
Our first show was at a strange
but
hotel.
But that was just weird. That was just luck. I don't know. It's just, dude, band names suck. It's really hard.
Very difficult, especially today.
I kind of resent the concept.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to pick something as a title for your musical project before you like even start the
right.
musical project.
Right.
And we had written a song called Strange Hotel a couple years ago, and I always just liked the phrase. And then we were like, you know what? Let's just go with that. It's a catchy word, and it's a blank enough canvas to, you can just start putting music to it.
Right.
I think it'll like,
no, it's a dope name. I dig it. I think it's a killer. So is it Strange Hotels plural?
Plural.
Plural, right? No, that's a killer name. So, okay, so you guys were in, where were you originally from?
So, Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. So, when
grew
you were
up there.
Okay, you were there. Were you guys already putting music together?
Yeah.
Jamming? And
we started really playing together, what, we were like 14?
Yeah.
Yeah, we started like playing in our parents' basements. We were actually just talking about the first time we tried to play together, and his stepmom started screaming at us. Before we even played a note, we were like carrying our like shitty Marshall amps down the stairs.
Right.
And to the basement, and she was like, started freaking out, she's screaming
yeah,
at
she's
us.
Yeah, she's a classical pianist, and she was just screaming at us because she was worried we were going to make a bunch of noise while she was practicing.
Which we were going to.
We were definitely
going to
do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and so that's how our musical relationship started.
Actually. Oh, dude, you know what? I mean, that's rad. Your guys' sound is dope, dude. I really, really dig it.
Thanks.
And I'm not just saying that, and you know, I mean, I really, really, truly enjoy it. Like, I want to turn my wife and my kids onto it. I have
Thank
a couple
you.
Of people
come by a
that,
show sometime.
Yeah, I definitely, that was my next thing. We'll get to that too. So back then when you guys were doing that, what were you guys listening to? What kind of music were you into? What was influencing you?
We were like super like indie boys. We were really into like Yeah Yeah Yeahs, LCD Sound System,
Modest Mouse, White Stripes,
yeah,
Justice,
just like the and time when indie was like peaking
for sure.
We were into
like 2007.
Okay.
Like we were just like going nuts on everything indie rock, and we were trying to play it or figure out how to sort of fake it.
We were like the only kids in our school wearing skinny jeans
for a couple
got
weeks.
Made fun of.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever go back?
Yeah, sure. Tons of family.
Are you guys touring? Do you guys tour? Do you guys do one-offs? I mean, I know with the pandemic.
We haven't toured since the pandemic.
No.
But before the pandemic, we were touring. And then since it's kind of, I mean, I don't even want to say after the pandemic because it's still going. But yeah. Since things have started opening, we started getting a lot of requests for regular shows in LA, like residencies.
Yeah.
Too many. And so we can't even leave town now because we're paying our bills off all these shows.
Right.
And so now we're like, and we're just going to stay in LA for a while. Also, there was talk of touring up to the Pacific Northwest. We got offered a tour, but I've been talking to a bunch of management friends, bookers. Numbers are down all over, like up there. And it's not like down here. Like you have to wear a mask. It's just like a muted experience, I think, still. Hopefully that changes soon.
What's the writing process with you guys like? I mean, do you guys play any of those songs from back in the day? Or, I mean, probably not, right?
Not from when we were kids, but I don't know. Everything's different. Like, every song is different. But we both definitely come from, like, more of, like, a songwriter background. But then we also really like dance music. So a lot of the stuff you hear in the recordings is, like, kind of a marriage of the two.
Sure, because I notice on some songs, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, I won't hear, like, a live drum kit.
Yeah.
Or on other songs, I will hear a live drum kit. I notice that.
Every song's different. Like, we've been working together so long that we've come up with so many different processes. That's the one. And so we just kind of... It's weird. It's like we just kind of don't come in with any pretense to the songs, and they sort of just naturally work themselves out. A lot of it is circumstantial. Like, if we're working in a studio, we'll do a lot of stuff with live drum kit. During the pandemic, we were trapped in our apartment like everyone else, and so we made a lot of stuff in the box or in the computer, and so we used a lot of synth drums.
Sure.
And it's just, we just kind of do what's around and try to get creative with it and, like, make the best of it.
So you two guys are able to play everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Drums, guitar, live kit, synthesizers,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
you're doing.
And we engineer and produce and write and sing. And so, yeah, we pretty much just kind of like slowly learned how to do as close to everything as we can.
Cool.
We mix and master our own stuff
too. That's great. So when you guys rehearse, do you actually need to go to, well, I guess if you're using a full kit, you'd have to go to a studio,
yeah,
but
we
you could probably write just anywhere, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can write anywhere.
You could write anywhere, I would think.
You can write anywhere, but to rehearse, we absolutely need a rehearsal studio. If anybody out there has a good deal, hit us up. I'm serious.
Okay, the song I really want to, I love all the jams, and it was funny because, is it Ring Ring, right?
Yeah.
Just two. Ring Ring, or is it three? Ring,
it's two.
Two, right? So that song came on today when I was driving. I was like, fuck, this is a good one right here. And then I noticed it was in queue to be played. But the first one I want to play is Jackknife.
Cool.
Tell me about that one. Who wrote it? What's it all about?
So that was kind of a different...
A collab.
A slightly different process from, like, a lot of them, in that we were rehearsing. We were trying to figure out how we were going to play music, just the two of us live, and have it be a full sound. So it was kind of towards the beginning when Ben started figuring out this really cool keyboard style where he has like a percussive style on the keyboard. And we were just like jamming. I played a drum beat. He was like playing that part. He had this dope chord.
I had been listening to like Random Access Memories, the Daft Punk album, quite a bit too. So
that totally was in your head.
Oh,
so, yeah. So
big time.
We just had this groove that it was bumping. And then, I don't know. I went home and I just, all I could hear was that, cause we just played it for hours and a melody started coming over it. And
I think I brought the chord progression and then we like figured out the beat and then he just wrote this awesome melody.
We wrote the lyrics together.
Yeah.
And then we recorded it. So it has a little more of like it started live and then
is
recorded.
This is one of those ones that is written in a rehearsal studio.
Dope.
As opposed to just like acoustic guitar and like an electronic drum kit.
Right. Or even like making a beat and then writing a melody over that. It's like, it wasn't that either.
It was more traditional, like a band, right?
Very cool. Let's give it a listen. If you're just tuning in, this is a music show here on LA Talk Radio. My guest today is Strange Hotels. This song is called Jackknife. Name of the band is Strange Hotels. Boy, that's fly right there, dude. That is some good stuff.
Thanks, man.
Wow.
God, it's, I haven't listened to that in a while.
That's great. So when you guys are, okay, so what do you guys use to record and mix and master, Pro Tools?
So it's interesting. So we started with this weird process where we recorded all our music on iPads and phones with this amazing app called, it's called DAW. It's like as simple as it gets.
Multi-track DAW.
Multi-track.
Wow.
And so for some reason we started there. And it just seemed like a different thing. It was cheap. It was like literally virtually free.
You could do vocals in your closet.
Yeah, it was like this. Just it was home recording. So that was right at the end of that. We were still working on iPads. So that's on an iPad.
That's so cool.
And then now we're in Logic. Now we do Logic.
Isn't that funny? You know how there are still. You know, I was working with Sugarfoot, and he wants to go in and record. And he wants to go into one of these old school studios where it's like they have the big giant JBLs above the mixing boards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How they recorded back in the day. And I took him like three places because he's in
like
Orange County.
Million channels.
It's not like that anymore.
It's not.
It's not. He walks in there and it's hard to tell him. I'm like, he's a diva, but he's cool.
Right.
But I'm like, dude, it's just, that's not how the shit works. It's not like that anymore.
It's become like an aesthetic rather than like a necessity.
Well, obviously, look at how good that sounds,
yeah, dude,
you know?
I mean, that's using a 4-track input interface to our, literally an iPad Pro from like 5 years ago.
So what's the live show like with Strange Hotels? Are you guys switching off on Chinese fire drill type stuff? Or
almost.
Like-
the live show is... we kind of treat them like really differently, so
I can't wait to see it,
dude. It's kind of our. I mean, I'm almost most proud of the live show.
Yeah,
we treat them like two different things. So, like the recordings, instead of trying to perfectly duplicate our recordings, we almost interpret them or cover them. Where it's like, okay, how do we just make this work?
Right.
So we focus on it working instead of it being the same. And so, I mean, he's playing drums and singing. And playing the sample pad at the same time, but there's no metronome, there's no backing tracks, there's no loops. It's all
100% real,
100% in front of you. We just make it in front of you.
There you go. I like that. I respect that.
And we didn't do that to be cool, right? It was just like
we just couldn't stand. We tried once playing along to a drum, and it was just like,
because
nah.
You think with a 2-person band, it's like, and we'd gone on tours with all these like pop bands that were like. Had these great sounding professional sets with
tons of tracks.
Sure.
Even bands with like 5 people are playing to tracks, you know, like the harmonies are recorded and everyone's got it. But we need to be able to improvise, and we're playing all these weird different venues when we're starting off. So we're like signaling at each other, like, hey, double this section or cut this section. Like, we're figuring it out on stage. And so the idea of being locked in form and tempo, which is what it is with a backing track, it wasn't a thing. So we had to figure out how to do it. So he's playing all the shit on the sample pad and drumming and singing. And then I'm singing and playing keyboard and bongo drums.
Mm-hmm.
Or on these, I play guitar on these songs. And I have these bass pedals. You know, like an organ player?
Mm-hmm.
Like an old school church organ. Oh, they're playing bass with their feet.
Right.
For the people listening audio, I'm tapping my foot on the ground right now.
Right.
But so that's a MIDI controller for the keyboard. So then when I'm playing guitar with my feet, I'm hitting bass lines with my toes.
Dope.
And so it's like, it sounds, we try to, at least I hope it sounds like 4 or 5 people.
Have you guys ever considered bringing other musicians into the band? And have you used musicians for any other recordings or not at this point?
The short answer is no. The long answer is maybe someday.
And that would be amazing.
Yeah.
But we do this for a living. And so... The idea was to make a band that we could get paid.
Sure.
At least a decent amount. And so 2 people is like, it's about as small as it gets.
And then another personality, of course.
Yeah,
who wants to deal with that?
We're shaped by the times. We're a product of the way music is now.
Yeah.
And so when we first started playing as a band, is like we were playing like, just breweries and weird rural shows that offered guarantees, because the only way to do it is to get a show that has a guarantee. You can't book a show once every 3 months and have like,
and hope to draw and like,
you know, we made $700 once every 3 months. Like, that's not viable.
It's not gonna work,
at all.
Right?
So we had this amazing booking agent in the Northwest that just got us all these brewery shows, but they were like, you know, it's like $300 to $500, but then you had to play for like 3 hours and maybe do your own sound. So we were doing like literally everything.
And so we put ourselves through that on purpose. We kind of knew like, oh, we're going to have to play for 3 hours, and we've been in a band for like a month.
Yeah.
Luckily, like we said, we've played music together for our whole lives.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, how do we stretch these songs? How do we do this? There's only one way to figure this out, and it's just to fucking go up there and make it work. And we kind of like just like, you know, baptism through fire. We just like had a bunch of shitty shows. But from our old bands, we knew like you get good eventually.
Mm-hmm.
If you just grind and do it and do it and do it, you do just figure out how to make it work. So before we even played in any city or drew anybody or even told any of our friends to come to a show, we were doing these folksy beer halls in the Pacific Northwest, playing for like 2 to 3 hours every night.
Right, where we don't have to draw, no selling tickets.
It's just money for music.
Yeah.
And that's how we kind of just started.
And the people that would show up, how would they reciprocate?
Well, so that was kind of the thing is like, because people aren't coming to see us, we had to be a band that would just impress whoever walked in the room.
It has to work if you don't know the song.
Right. I would almost think that it would work almost with anybody. I mean, it's such a chill vibe, and even the heavier and louder stuff is even like great. So,
well, thanks for saying
all,
that.
All around, but I know how people are, especially when it comes to music.
Honestly, it was, we were really heartened at first. I remember like we were playing in Port Townsend in Washington. It's like way up north, right on the coast, this weird little hippie town, super cool place.
Yeah.
And it was one of our first shows. You're playing just like a straight up pub, like in the corner with a couple like JBL speakers. It was just a bunch of like older folks on their Friday night in the small town drinking beer. And they all just like total head turn. And like within 10 minutes, it was just like the whole place was crammed in and dancing. And we were like, oh, we're like, kind of thought we were making this music for like hipsters or whatever.
Sure.
It's like, nope, these people like it. And it was, we had no idea that was even going to.
Yeah. See, I think it would apply to all genres. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I kind of started this show, the music show. And people would ask me like, well, you know, like when Zach hit me up, you know, like, are you interested in having a band like this? I says, the one thing about, you know, this show, and I've had artists from all walks of life, whether it be hip hop, whether it be dance music, whether it be metal, whether it be rock, whether it be songs that were written in the 80s and the 90s that I think are amazing songs that people forget about because there are no MTVs anymore. Terrestrial radio is kind of weeding out, but the good thing with guys like you is I could hear this on K-Rock, I could hear this on 98.7, I could hear this on a lot of terrestrial stations as well as a couple satellite stations, but I think the fact that this style of music could almost apply to anybody, anybody could show up and like it and dance. I mean, unless you got like a full on fucking like meddler showing up there, obviously he's not going to,
but you know,
or
what?
A punker with a mohawk, but they might even dig it too. See,
we kind of shred live. Like we embrace more of like, improvisational quick playing. Like, and so I've had some good talks with metal guys after shows.
And they probably dig it, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's, everybody, you know.
And that's us. Like, I love all genres of music.
Sure.
All of it.
You like, have to.
Good is good.
You have
to. If it's good, I like it.
You have to.
Yeah.
When is the next show for Strange Hotels? Is there anything booked?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, so we play tomorrow in Hollywood, Harvard and Stone.
What's tomorrow, Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're actually there every Friday.
Oh, are so you really?
This is another one. I mean, this is just our fate, I guess, as a band.
Where is it at?
Harvard and Stone. It's on Hollywood Boulevard, like just east of Western.
What is it? A club?
It's a club.
Yeah.
Does it go off?
It goes off.
Oh yeah.
Every Friday.
Really?
Yeah. We dropped a single there 2 weeks ago, and yeah, it was like 400 people just rolled in right when we were playing. It was beautiful.
That's dope. How did you guys hook up with this wonderful manager over here, Zach?
We met him at one of our other residencies.
It's too bad he doesn't have a mic.
Yeah.
Look at him.
I don't think he'd want to talk.
Look at him.
So we play this club in Santa Monica called Harvel's.
Uh-huh.
It's like a really like classic old school venue, like 150 capacity, beautiful small room.
Incredible sound, really good lights. It's just like, it's a nice place to go. Just
what's
like,
it called?
Harvel's.
Okay.
Yeah. I know Harvard and Stone and Harvel's. It's confusing. We play both. But Zach, you just rolled in and like liked it and we started.
You want a manager?
We started
one of those things.
Pretty much. I just love the band.
He sent us a great email.
And then we started chopping it up and like had a couple drinks and like just like bonded over a bunch of music.
Oh, you guys are on your way. This is great shit. Okay, let's play another track.
Let's do it.
I could sit here and talk all day, but the music's much better. The next one, Ring Ring. Talk it up a little bit. Give me a little backstory on this one.
This is the first song we wrote when we knew we were in this band. And it's basically just, we were living in Portland. We were broke as fuck.
I love the phone ringing in the background.
Yeah,
this is the first time
we started messing around with samples. The old band we were in was starting getting restrictive. Yeah. We were like really stuck in all this stuff. And so this felt like a burst of freedom.
Cool. Yep. Let's hear it. If you're just tuning in again, this is a music show, LA Talk Radio. The guest today, Strange Hotels. Get on their Instagram. They're playing every Friday night. Name it again.
Harvard and Stone every Friday night.
Every Friday night. They're the house
show.
Band.
Free show.
iTunes, Spotify, all platforms.
All of it.
Strange Hotels. Get at it. Strange Hotels, Ring Ring. Shameless. 11th
season.
First
episode.
That was a great show.
Totally. Nick got it.
How did you guys get that handled?
We're cutting deals all over town, man.
That's how you got to do it, dude. Hustle.
Yeah, we got deals.
You got to hustle.
We got some low rent music licensing deals.
That's
going.
That's rad.
For sure.
Do you guys got videos out?
Yeah. Actually, Jackknife, the first song you played, we were lucky enough to open for Billie Eilish a couple years ago.
Oh, you know what? Zach told me about that. I forgot all about How did that go down?
Cutting deals, dude.
Cutting deals.
Yeah.
I love it.
Refer to my previous answer.
I love it.
But it's like, there's a good live video shit.
Sure.
And I called in some favors with some cinematographers I knew, and we got like a four-angle, beautiful video of Jackknife.
Where was that at?
In Portland, Crystal Ballroom.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I gotta imagine, what's the lady situation like playing this kind of music? It's not like playing punk rock.
Well, what's playing punk rock?
Where there's a bunch of dudes showing up.
Oh, yeah. We do pretty...
It's pretty 50-50.
Yeah.
We cast a wide net. I just noticed from playing a lot of shows, just like it's every age group and it's every...
We get a lot of man love, though. I gotta say.
Musician dudes
really get into it. Which
indie guys
like
us.
Kind of weird, but...
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
So, now, what do you guys do outside of the band for fun? Just write songs?
Play dice.
Yeah. In the pandemic, I got back at video games like everyone
else. Yeah, so what did you guys do during the lockdown? Did you guys utilize that time to write? How many records did you guys got out?
We have two mixtapes and then a bunch of singles.
Like eight singles.
What did you guys do during the lockdown, being as talented as you guys are? I would presume you put something really great together.
We wrote and recorded a ton of shit.
Yeah.
A ton. We're sitting on a... But that wasn't like...
We put out a bunch of music during the pandemic.
We tried... We were like, okay, we're going to use this time. And I kind of thought we weren't using it. But then looking back, it was like a fucking year and a half. It's like, oh yeah, we made a lot of stuff. I wasn't really aware of it at the time. It was more just kind of like going through the motions, dude. I don't know. We were like, as everyone was, I think, we were just like devastated and terrified.
Did you guys go back home at all during the lockdown?
No.
Mm-mm. Just
we stayed in LA.
Wrote it out here.
Yeah, we wrote it out.
That was like... Like when people take like psychedelics, they talk about, you know, taking like the hero dose and having ego death.
Sure.
I think for me, that pandemic was like, it felt like true ego death. Like it wasn't like you wake up the next day and you're like, oh, thank God that's over. You're just like every day wake up and you're like, wow, I still don't know who I am because I don't have this thing that I've been working at.
And kind of tied our identity too for like our whole adult life. And then we just moved to LA and it was like shit was popping. We had a regular gig. We're making all these friends. And then it was just over. I mean, I don't mean to whine. Everybody went through it. I read a lot of books. We went on a lot of walks. We drank a lot. I drank more than I ever have in my whole life.
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah, we hit, like, some people sobered up and got a six-pack. That's not what I did.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the lyric, how do the lyrics come about in the band? Together or one or
it just
what do you got, what do you got?
It's both. Like, sometimes he'll write a song and bring it to the table and be like, hey, let's turn this into some type of recording. You got any ideas?
Yeah.
Sometimes vice versa, and then sometimes it's like, oh, like you want to do that section, you take the middle eight or whatever.
I think more often though, like you'll write your lyrics and bring them, and I'll write my lyrics and bring them.
Do lyrics come easy to both of you?
Yes, I would say to both of us. Yeah. Right? I mean, it depends on the day or the month, but
for sure.
But yeah, for sure. I think we have this approach now where like we're in Logic. We have this like we got a brand new laptop, and like we've had it for about a year. We've really been like kind of exploring that. And it feels to me like being a modern songwriter, this is just my opinion, but it's like you don't just write lyrics and melody now. You actually start a recording. Like you start a production, and that is what an idea is.
Sure.
It's like there has to be a hook, too. There has to be like a vague idea of the rhythm, what it's going to be like. And so we'll kind of start those alone. Like he'll be like, look, I got this groove, and like I got a melody, and I got like half the lyrics. And then like, but I won't jump in before that. It'll be like, he'll bring it to a point and then be like, okay, now I'm ready to like collaborate on it.
Speaking about rhythm and a groove, this was my favorite song. I think it was the first one Zach sent me. Teen Dream Fantasy. I love the hook. You play it, I don't know, a couple bars in, and then you hit it again. I guess it'd be the chorus, maybe?
Yeah, it's like the post-chorus.
Yeah, I wish you guys would have done it one more time.
Yeah, we thought about it.
I was like, oh, I got to hear that one more time, dude. That's fucking great.
He's got to listen again. give us those there precious streams.
There he goes. There he goes hustling. Yeah. Strange Hotels is the name of the band. Teen Dream Fantasies. Check it out. That's a great one. They're all great.
Dude,
I love
you.
That song. I really have fallen in love with that song.
Dude, that's our newest
one. I swear,
one.
That's such a good song.
We were really lucky. We got to work with Gordon Raphael, who's the producer of the first two Strokes records.
Yeah.
He produced that song.
So good.
And his touch is on it. And it was, it's Nick wrote that in May.
So, Nick, you're singing on that one.
That's all Nick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk to me about the gear you guys are using. What kind of drum kit are you using? What are you using, synthesizers, your electronic stuff? What are you guys, run me through that just briefly, what you guys are using.
So, we have, We use Logic, so we have
about your drum kit.
All the plugins.
Yeah, more about the instruments and, okay. and how you capture this sound.
So I just have one drum kit. I'm not one of those drummers that has, right. you know, a shitload of gear. I just have the things that I need, and I like them.
Simplistic,
but
I love
it's
it.
Like a 60s Ludwig.
Nice.
It's classic.
Nice.
It's just, a Ringo kit.
Yeah.
That's rad.
We just wanted like a Beatles, like Abbey Road sounding kit. We always thought that
was like 22-inch kick.
It's 20-inch.
20, it's small.
Did playing drums come easy to you, or did you have to work hard at it, or was it something you just picked up and you were good at right out of the gate?
I would say I had to work hard at it. I mean, I never took lessons, but I think also it did like come naturally.
He's got good rhythm.
To me.
Yeah.
Drumming's so fucking
I played
hard, though.
Piano a little bit growing up, and so I had like rhythm and...
Yeah.
I'm going to take it from him and just say he's one of the most naturally musical people I've ever met. I mean, I remember in high school I was working way harder on music than him.
Yeah.
And he would come in and just be like, oh, just put a harmony on that. I'd be like, well, how? And he'd be like, just go up one. Like, it's right. all just,
right.
it's really intrinsic to him.
Do you think that maybe having that little bit of piano experience gave you the theory and made things easier for you to write today?
I think it just made, it made rhythm, I don't know, it was practicing rhythm.
I've always thought that and said that, like, every time I come across a musician that's just a guitar player or a drummer, and sometimes they're great, a lot of times they're good, great, whatever, but then you come across that musician that's got that piano background.
That was both our first.
And it's completely a different musician. It's a better musician.
That was both our first instruments.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. Piano's like their first music computer.
Sure. It's a good way to put it.
It's a desk.
Right. It's linear.
Yeah, it's just a desk, and it's just as easy as possible to just, like, compose. That's what it's made for.
So good, so good. So outside of these the residencies that you guys are doing in Hollywood every Friday night, what time do you guys take the stage? Is it the same time every Friday?
It's either 11 or midnight.
Okay. Right.
Usually 11, but sometimes we push it.
Is it an 18 and over club or 21 and over?
There's a burlesque show.
Oh, yeah. Hey, now.
A lot of cool stuff.
And a really good DJ. So it like devolves into this dance party burlesque show. It's a really good vibe.
Yeah, I'm going to make a night out of it. I'm going to get a room, make a night out of it.
You got to come through.
I can't tomorrow. Maybe next week. We'll see.
Every Friday.
Yeah. And do you guys know how long you're going to be doing this every Friday for?
Indefinitely.
No, we're just going to go until we go.
At least through the end of this year.
Now, what's Zach doing? Why are we at the Canyon Clubs and all these other clubs?
That's a great question, Zach.
Like I put it, you didn't think I was going to sit here and throw softballs all day, did you?
We're just getting our feet wet, right? Yeah.
No, that's great. That's really great. Well, you know what, man? You guys are really onto something super special. I'm so grateful to meet you guys.
We're so grateful to be on the show. Thank you.
You know what, man? I wish you guys so much more success, and I wish you guys good health. I have an access to somebody at K-Rock. I'm not going to drop the name here, but I'm going to talk to these people, and I want to talk to you, Zach, and I want to get them this. I really do.
Thank you so much.
And I want to get it over to somebody I know that I did the Terrestrial show up in Newport Beach, KOCI 101.5 FM. Now, his name, I could drop the poor man. He used to be on K-Rock back in the day. He does the morning drive at KOCI 101.5 FM in Newport, and I would work the evenings, but I wouldn't do every day. I would just do like 2 days a week. But he grew up right in the heart of when this type of music was kind of blowing up. But then he also comes from like that new wave era back in the day. And not to throw you under that umbrella, but I think if you have that kind of background, you instantly gravitate to something like this.
I think there's hella new wave.
Because the bar has been set very low with music. I mean, there is a lot of shit out there. You know, they say about Logic and all this stuff. Like, the one good thing about YouTube and all that is everyone could release music.
Right.
The one bad thing is everybody could release music.
Right. Totally.
You know? And to come across guys like you is just, it's really a breath of fresh air. And again, I don't knock anybody for going out there and trying and playing. But, man, when you come across something this special, it really is rad. And I'm a huge music lover. I've always kind of wanted to base my show around like a music show, like talk show for like a sports talk, but music talk for music fans.
That's great.
And I got that from this guy named Eddie Trunk that does The Volume. He does a show on Sirius XM, and I'm a big fan of his and been able to meet him. And he would talk about that. I said, oh, that's a great idea.
That's
that's kind of how I want to be too. So I kind of based my show around that and made major props to Eddie Trunk. I didn't come up with that, but I mean, that's kind of where I'm at.
Anytime you want to have us to chop it up.
For sure, dude.
I love talking shit.
For sure, man. I'm so stoked that you guys came through, Zach. Thank you so much. Before we head out, Strange Hotels, tell everybody again how to get the music, how to get on the social media, plug the Friday residencies, and then we'll get out of here.
Instagram is a good way to connect. Just strange_hotels. We got a blue check, so you can't miss it because we're fancy. And then we're playing every Friday and every Sunday in Hollywood. And we play every Wednesday in Santa Monica. And just reach out and connect. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Music. We're on iTunes. It's YouTube.
Strange Hotels. Get at them.
It's easy.
Where's Wednesday?
Harbell's.
That's in Santa Monica.
Oh, that's every Wednesday?
Yeah.
And then Friday at Harbor and Stone. That's Sunday at Good Times at Davy Wayne's.
Where's that?
Also in Hollywood. Great club.
Are they all late, like midnight sets?
Yeah,
it's all 11 to midnight.
They are. Okay. I'll have to make arrangements. Boys,
well, Harvell's is earlier.
Harvell's.
Gentlemen, thank you so very much for coming
in.
I love this music. I can't tell you how much I love this band. I'm super stoked to come across something new. Zach, thanks. It's a pleasure to meet you and everything that you've been doing for me so far. I really appreciate it. And get out and support the Canyon Clubs. Montclair, Santa Clarita. Where's the other one?
Oxnard.
What else you got going on?
Agora
Hills.
Beverly Hills.
Redondo. Yes, Canyon Club, get out there, check out those bands. He always has great tribute bands. I'm going to be doing a show with him here in January. So thanks again for that, and thanks again for turning me on to these wonderful guys.
Thanks for having us.
The name of the band, Strange Hotels. Thank you so very much for coming in. Big, big thank you to my sponsor, Liquid Death, and I'll see you guys next time.
Boom.
You're listening to The Music Show with Greg Dixon, only on LA Talk Radio.